First, I have to say that being seated under the symbol, the sign, the flame, and the doves of the Holy Spirit is really cool. After the service, if you want to come up and sit in my chair and check that out, please do. It's really great. Before the service, I was talking to someone, and she was saying, you know, are we putting wind on that to make it do? No, that's the air that's always circulating in here, but we don't always see it, just like the Holy Spirit, right? Always with us, but we don't always see it, but sometimes something shows us the movement of the Spirit. Those first followers of Jesus, they were gathered together when the Holy Spirit blew in and changed their lives forever. Changed the world forever. The birth of the church was an amazing and powerful thing, but also confusing. Are they drunk? No, it's only 9 a.m. While it may be unusual to be drunk at 9 a.m., it can happen. So what is it about this experience that tells us that they were filled with the Holy Spirit rather than with some kind of drug or speaking from their own power? Every year we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after Easter, after Christ is raised from the dead, and 10 days after the Ascension, the day that Jesus, the risen Christ, ascends into heaven, leaving the disciples in one sense, but promising them that the Holy Spirit will come to them and dwell with them. The Holy Spirit would come to lead them into all truth. The Holy Spirit would come to teach them. We hear Jesus say in John's Gospel, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of what I've said to you." In other versions of this teaching about the Holy Spirit, the Bible is quite clear that all truth for all time is not found in the Bible or in the past, but that as history proceeds, God the Holy Spirit will be with us to teach us what to do, how to live, how to honor God in our time, how to be the church in our time, how to be about God's work in the world. In the Episcopal Church, we look to the Bible, to tradition and reason, as we seek to follow God in a complex and changing world. This is what is often referred to as the three-legged stool on which our faith is, described by the 16th century English theologian Richard Hooker. In recent years, some have spoken of adding a fourth leg to this stool, the four-legged stool, the fourth leg being community. Alone, we are limited in knowing God. Together, we help each other, being guided by the Spirit, to discern what God is calling us to do, who God is calling us to be, as individuals and as the church, this church, Holy Comforter. Of course, we are named for the Holy Spirit. It's very special. The Pentecost event was so much about community, showing us that we are all one human family. Other than the fact, and of course this was a big deal, but the languages the people spoke were not known to them, there are even more aspects of the Pentecost event that show us that they were not drunk, but that a powerful experience of God was happening, an experience that would propel them to be the church for years and years up to this very day, helping us to be the church God calls us to be. Community was created among people who were very different from each other. They could communicate, they could hear, they could listen to each other. They were all brothers and sisters, even though they came from different cultures and backgrounds, were different in many ways, different races. The Pentecost event gave the people of God God's perspective, the perspective that God calls us to be together and that we are all God's children, no matter what. There are many ways and many times that the Holy Spirit has helped us to know what to do. I'm sure you can think of some in your life. Maybe you didn't think of it quite that way, but where you felt a nudge or had a sense, maybe spiritually, that this was the thing you should do at that time. In the context of Pentecost, I was so moved and heartened by our presiding bishop's recent words. Online now, you can see a segment of an interview with Judy Woodruff, an interview she's done with Michael Curry, our presiding bishop. We're told that the full interview will air on the PBS NewsHour soon, but this segment alone is so powerful. Judy Woodruff asked the presiding bishop, Michael Curry, if he has anything to say about ordaining women in the Episcopal Church, if he has anything to say that might inform the Catholic Church, given, and this was news to me, I didn't know this until like 3 days ago, given that Pope Francis has recently said he would consider setting up a commission to study the idea of allowing women to be deacons in the Roman Catholic Church. Wow, that's a big deal, huh? Woo! And right there, that sounds like the movement of the Spirit, and a lot like how the Episcopal Church came to ordain women. We had an intermediate step of setting apart, it was called not ordaining. See, there are lots of different ways to look at what's going on. And we called those women who were set apart deaconesses, and they didn't quite have all the authority that their counterparts, the male deacons, had. But it was a big step along the way. And the interview had a Pentecost feel to me, this interview with Michael Curry, in asking others in the Christian community, Episcopalians, to share with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters our experience, listening, hearing, different people listening to each other. And then what Michael Curry said was amazing, going way beyond what an expected answer might be. Remember, the question was, what has your experience with ordaining women deacons and more in the Episcopal Church, what has that been like? How can that maybe inform what the Roman Catholics are doing? What he said to that was, when we finally got and get to the point of saying, who has God called to be a bishop, a priest, or a deacon, and we're going to follow that leading, what we found over time was, guess what? A priest is a priest. A deacon is a deacon. A bishop is a bishop. They may be black, white, red, yellow, brown. They may be Republican or Democrat. They may be a man or a woman. They may be gay or straight, bisexual, transgender. They may be a whole host of things, but they are a priest. They're a bishop. They're a deacon. And he goes on to say, you know, my Catholic brothers and sisters, you have to make your decision as God leads you. This is how we've made ours. We've been blessed. And we've been blessed. We have a better Episcopal Church because we really are trying to welcome all. What a Pentecost statement. What a statement of being led by the Spirit. What a case study about what staying open to the Holy Spirit can mean and look like for the Episcopal Church, for us. It took some time. It didn't come quickly. But as Bishop Curry describes, the Holy Spirit would not let up. Thanks be, right? The Holy Spirit wouldn't let us alone and is moving in other denominations, and some before us heard it. But the Holy Spirit would not let up, and thanks be to God, we as the Episcopal Church remained open to the Spirit's leading, even when our cultural experiences and our experience of life and truth was not there yet for us as a whole. We stayed open to the Holy Spirit, which meant staying in conversation and community with individuals, with science, right? With our wider culture, which was changing faster than the culture of the church. Sometimes you hear people say that the church should not give in to the culture. Well, God works through those who are not Christian, right? God works through those who are not explicitly on a Christian path in our culture, in our society. And when we listen to what's going on around us, as our deacon helps us do, it helps us hear the Holy Spirit, not in exclusion to what we're doing here about our prayers in the church and all of that, but in conversation with it all. Another example that we see very powerfully now is God working through the scientific community and those who care for the environment, who are maybe not explicitly following a Christian path, teaching the church to talk about and to care for the environment. Again, the culture was ahead of us. And as Bishop Curry states about ordaining women and about ordaining all sorts and listening, we have been blessed. How do we know that we're following the lead of the Holy Spirit? We see and experience and show forth the fruits of the Spirit, which we hear about in the letter to the Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians goes on to say, there is no law against such things. We see the fruits of the Spirit when we welcome the gift of the Spirit. We see it in welcoming. We see it in the way the Spirit leads us. When the Spirit is helping create community among us, we see those fruits. On this day, we will welcome newcomers and new members to our church. How appropriate to do so on Pentecost, as we are named for this feast day. Our community formed by a sense of the Holy Spirit. We are blessed to welcome you who are newer to this, your church. The Holy Spirit has brought us together for a reason, for many reasons, in community. We will continue to discern together how the Spirit leads, as this church, our church, has done for generations, often pushing the edge of what was acceptable in the church by having candles on the altar, by doing prison ministry, by feeding those in need before others were doing it, by standing with the gay community in the early days, even in the scariest days of the initial HIV, called AIDS back then. We've pushed the edge and we continue to push it, being guided by the Spirit, which is always ahead of where people are, right? Because God sees all time. This is the sort of faith community you have decided to join, all of you, whether our church is new to you or you've been here for years. It is always a decision and a faithful action to come to church, to be here, to stay here, even when it's not easy. To stay, and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter, to be the community of faith we are called to be, for our joy and the benefit of others, and to God's glory. Amen.